Hey guys, my name is Amy Coonan, and I am a millennial on a mission to eat, clean, cook, dress, and live more sustainably. It's because of that I'm also the host of The Town Hall, Rubicon's first and only podcast where we share sustainability stories from the industry's influencers and the biggest brands. Jam-packed with tips, tricks, and need-to-know info for those that want to do better for the planet but may not know where to start. We are covering it all. Last year, we spoke to some incredible people who are doing some incredible things for our planet. The executive director of the Leonardo DiCaprio Foundation, the CEO of Seven Generation Cleaning Products, and one of the brains behind environmental sustainability in the NBA. This season, we're kicking it up a notch. Don't forget to download and subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or iHeartRadio so that you don't miss a minute. And if you can't catch us on your commute or you don't download directly, don't stress. You can check out our website at rubiconglobal.com/townhallpodcast for recaps, reviews, and all things Town Hall. Hey, everyone, and welcome to another episode of The Town Hall. Today, we're going to drink our beer and eat it, too. I am joined via Skype by Daniel Kurzrock, a sustainability superstar in his own right, and also the co-founder of Regrained. Regrained is a super grain bar that is fighting the good fight against food waste. Daniel, thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I mean, I'd like to talk trash with you.
Oh, the puns will keep coming. So let's start easy. Tell me a little bit about your background and how you got here and how you got up to creating Regrained, and then we'll go from there.
Yeah, for sure. So I got my start into this as a total accident. You know, I didn't set out to want to start a business that was trying to make a really positive impact on the food system and do a bunch of research or anything like that. Like, the honest truth, I mean, was that I was an underage college homebrewer that was obsessed with making my own beer and just horrified with what felt like a massive amount of waste that I was creating with every batch. There's four ingredients in making beer. Do you know what they are, Amy?
I'm the one asking the questions here, buddy. No, I know one is hops.
Mm-hmm.
Barley? Hops is the,
You're doing great.
Wheat?
Maybe I should run the podcast. Yep. Oh, no. Well, wheat, that'd be the same category.
Okay, so hops, barley, sugar? No.
Also coming from the sugar. So the two that you're missing is water and yeast. Hops, you want to retry that again?
Hops, water, yeast, barley.
Nailed it. Yeah. And so making beer, it's very simple. Just like there's only four ingredients, you're basically like heating up water and mixing it. You're kind of making like this big batch of oatmeal with the barley malt. And then to make the beer, you basically drain that. You got this like sugar water, which is, you know, goes on to become beer. But way kind of back in the beginning of that process, you've still got all the solids. And those solids are a concentration of the nutrients, actually really great levels of protein, fiber, prebiotics. There's some interesting phenols, other stuff that's going on in this byproduct of the beer brewing process that the home brewing books basically told you to, you know, if you've got hogs, you know, or something, you could feed them to them, or chickens, but or like throw it in, compost. But I was in Los Angeles, we didn't even have a compost bin, and so I was dumping this stuff in the trash, which felt, you know, very wasteful. It's about a pound for every six pack, so even if I'm only making 5 gallons of beer, which is about a third of a keg. You know, that's 20 to 30 pounds of food that I'm creating that I'm not doing anything, you know, with. So love making beer, didn't love wasting food, you know, in that process. And so came up with a scheme to bake loaves of bread, sell those loaves of bread to friends with the grain, and then use the proceeds to purchase more ingredients to brew beer for free. So that was kind of my college, you know, recreational entrepreneurship hobby of making beer and bread and having one fund the other. And, you know, one thing led to another. And as we identified that there was this boom in craft beer that was really exciting for, you know, at the consumer level for so many reasons, you know, never been more access to better tasting and more variety of craft beer. But as more and more breweries are opening up in cities, especially, and by the way, there's more than two new breweries opening per day on average right now. These breweries also go through lots and lots of grain to make their beer. And even a small brewery will use a few million pounds of this grain in a year. And today, the best case scenario, there are more than two new breweries, you know, opening per day right now. And every time they're making a batch of beer, they're also generating a lot of this grain, you know, to the order of millions of pounds, you know, per brewery per year. Like I mentioned, it's about a pound per six pack. And so realize that there might be an opportunity to work with these breweries who today are best case, you know, selling this stuff or donating it for animal feed, or, you know, if they're in a city, often paying to have it hauled away by a waste hauler, to actually come up with an innovative way to process it into something that's, you know, shelf stable, like a flour, and then work with food companies to formulate products using this new ingredient, create a new category of, you know, verifiable super grain foods, and, you know, close the loop. And so that's what we set out to do with Regrain. There's kind of a lot, you know, in between, but what we're really here to do is to be an ingredient, you know, platform and, you know, food product innovator that is specializing in upcycling edible byproducts, starting with the grain from the brewing industry.
So let's talk circular process for a few minutes. You know, throughout my research, I kept seeing a lot of phrases and, you know, there are so many buzzwords in the sustainability realm. One that I kept coming upon is food waste alchemy, and the other was edible upcycling. So take me through kind of step by step about how the bar is actually made, how it's produced, you know, ultimately upcycled and then sold.
Yeah, no, that's great. It's so fun to talk about this, because we get to, you know, we've had this opportunity to come up with kind of new ways of describing what is essentially a very, you know, very old idea, which is that we should, you know, really value, you know, all the resources that go into something and, you know, really maximize, you know, value for people and planet. You know, so for us, what we're doing is we're making, this is a quick clarification, we're making the raw ingredient, which can be thought of as a flour, you know, from the grain. And then we use that flour in our bars we have a line of chips coming out this summer, and that's all designed to teach people about the ingredient and show them the stuff, you know, that snacking sustainably, you know, it can be super easy to do. And so we, you know, doing two things, you know, one is the creation of that new supply chain. So taking this grain as it comes out of the brewery, and it's extremely wet, which makes it very heavy to ship, and also very unstable, you know, in terms of like having it spoil, you know, very quickly. And so kind of the core of what we've been doing is figuring out how to develop, you know, a food grade supply chain, you know, from that. And then it's, okay, what are all the different things that we can make with this ingredient? And, you know, what's going to be most effective at, you know, at teaching people about it before we start working with other brands to help them create, you know, regrained products. And I've always loved that, the idea of alchemy, because what we're doing is we're, you know, basically turning, you're seeing, and this is something you guys are very, very familiar with, you know, as well, with your business, is seeing waste as a resource, right? And, you know, waste being a human construct, and there's, you know, dots that need to be connected between the generators of that, you know, because the brewers, to them, it's waste because they can't make more beer with this grain. They call it cement grain because it's spent its ability to make beer. But food companies are always looking for ways to make great tasting products that are, you know, more marketable because they're better for people and better for planet. And this is an ingredient that enables them really authentically to do that. But the beer companies aren't ingredient companies, and neither are the food manufacturers. And so, you know, enter the opportunity for Regrain to come in and say, hey, you know, we can develop some expertise in connecting these dots for you.
I'm a chocolate coffee stout girl myself. What's your favorite flavor of the bars?
Yeah, so of our three flavors, used to be my favorite, and now I am very partial to the blueberry ginger flavor. I just love the combination of kind of the bright, you know, fruit with the kind of spicy, you know, ginger. And I do still eat them like pretty much every day. So it's but I'm really excited for you to try our new line of products that's coming out this summer. We've got it's like a popped chip. You know, so it's like, it's savory, you know, there's five flavors of that. And that
how do you
is
come
be,
up with the recipes for everything?
So we have, my co-founder is, his name's Jordan, and he, so as I was getting really into making beer, he also actually almost dropped out of UCLA to become a chef, you know, so he was always the food guy. And then now we also have, he's got a degree in what's called culinology, which is kind of the combination of culinary art and food science. And then we work with some great partners as well. One example would be Griffith Foods, who's a, you know, food product development company. That's one of our, you know, strategic, you know, partners, and they've got, you know, they've been giving us some help, you know, as well. So it's definitely not something we're doing in a silo, but we have a lot of fun because almost anything, like if you can name it, Amy, we've probably tried to regrain it, you know, from like pizza to crackers to cookies to breads. I mean, there's just a massive range of applications for this ingredient, and we're just so excited to, you know, get it into, you know, as a staple into more people's diets, because it's, you know, great promoting healthy.
I mean, you're a hell of a blogger. You know, I love following along with some of the recipes of like the different baked goods and the foods using the bars. I mean, everything looks delicious, and I think that it's like very, very cool, very unique, and I think that it'll only help kind of skyrocket the Regrain popularity. And I mean, you guys were really popular at Expo West. If you're unfamiliar and you're listening with Expo West, it's a massive natural foods and products showcase. And you guys actually won an award. Tell me all about it.
We did. Yeah. This year we won a Nexty, which we're super excited about. It's only given, there's almost 4,000 companies that exhibited this, and only four, you know, received the category, the award for the category that we got, which is the editor's choice. And the criteria was for innovation, you know, inspiration and integrity. And this kind of came off the heels of a really challenging discovery that we had with our compostable packaging that we were using for our bar, and the transition that we had to make there. And, you know, it's something that we've been really kind of radically transparent and vulnerable about. And it was great to see that people were paying attention to that, and that we're, you know, are starting to care. A lot of people in the consumer packaged goods space don't like to talk about that P in CPG, the packaging. And
What's the status of the packaging now?
So we've got a few new materials that we're testing, but effectively what we had to do was switch from the compostable structure that we were using to a conventional structure. So conventional plastics, and we could do a whole podcast on this alone, but this material that's made from petroleum, and it's destined for landfill because it's typically basically a bunch of really thin layers of different materials that are glued together into a structure that can't be separated. And so it can't be recycled because it's, you know, multi-material structure. And so the problem was we were trying to not create landfill waste by solving food waste, you know, with our packaging. But then the packaging that we had chosen was actually due to, you know, us not testing it extensively enough because we're, you know, a startup and we're just trying to, and you kind of test things as you're rolling in a lot of cases. And what ended up happening was our packaging was causing our product to go stale in some cases before it even got to the store, which meant that our efforts to put packaging in landfill was actually creating food waste, which is counter to our mission number one. So that was, you can imagine the amount of sleepless nights I had, as we were trying to decide what to do there. Ultimately, we decided that we need to slow down to speed up and put our product in a package that is really proven, and then put resources into testing, you know, multiple kind of next generation materials and really make sure that, you know, hopefully within a year we can make that switch back and really open source, you know, most importantly, open source all of our discoveries about these new materials, because we don't see this as being proprietary. We would love to have, you know, all the bar companies, all the, you know, companies using flexible film, you know, see the work that we're doing and see that it can be done. You know, maybe it's a cent more per package or something like that, but that it's, you know, that the package works, and that, you know, this is something that we can rally together in a non-competitive sense as an industry and really just kind of clean up our act. And so, you know, I hope to have more announcements within the next year about how these different trials are going. You know, we're still very, very committed to it as a core value of our business, but what we could not allow to continue was the creation of food waste due to our packaging. And it's been I'll be honest with you, I mean, it's been a huge challenge to get through this. You know, as you can imagine, when you got, you know, products in thousands of stores that might be, you know, not top quality, you know, no safety issues, but quality, I mean, they're stale, right? Like, how do you, it's like, you know, collecting the, like I like to say, it's like, you know, trying to collect the confetti after a parade. Like, how are you going to do that? Right. So that's, you know, we're pretty much through that now, which is, I'm very thankful for, but it's been a monumental task for us.
You touched on it a little bit. And, you know, I mean, this podcast is geared towards, I mean, your target audience and ours as well, millennials and conscious consumers who want to live more sustainably and, you know, ultimately use their purchasing power for good. And in my opinion, Regrain in that sense is a no-brainer. I mean, there's nothing more millennial than like eating a bar that is made from, you know, craft beer. A core value for us millennials, you know, on a mission is transparency. And so you touched on it a little bit. And when I was poking around on the website, I found the live ticker, you know, the one that counts in real time, like pounds of super grain that's been upcycled and kept out of the landfill. And you know, you were very straightforward about some of the challenges with the packaging, Why do you think transparency is so important to social entrepreneurs and their audiences?
Yeah, I think it's a great question. And I kind of my philosophy on this is that today, and it helps, by the way, that I am also a millennial, you know, consumer. So a lot of what we're doing is just intuitive to us. But when I take a step back and think about it, you know, today, it's not that each consumer or each, you know, person cares about each, you know, and everything that you're doing, but collectively, you know, they do care about everything that you're doing. So it's not that, you know, every consumer cares about everything that you're doing, but that there is like a group of consumers that care about each of the things that you're doing. And, you know, in a lot of ways, you know, I've also heard this described as like operations as marketing, right? Which is just like the idea of just like walking the talk, but then being sure that you're, you know, communicating that. And so we believe that with our business, every single decision that we make has ripple effects across, you know, an ecosystem of stakeholders, and that we need to think about each of these decisions, you know, with that in mind, that there's, you know, a level of intentionality that we can bring to it that can really amplify our impact beyond just our core product. Like we're not just a brand of consumer products. We're not just this ingredient platform. You know, we are a company that's out there that's making decisions about who we buy ingredients from, who we sell to, how we market those products. You know, there's just a massive array of different types of decisions that we make even on a daily basis. And we are very thoughtful about those decisions and who they might impact. And then we just feel that it's really important to then communicate, you know, especially the bigger ones, you know, why we decided what we did and what went into that, because there's probably a group of people out there that cares about that. And we want them to know that, you know, that we're with them and that, you know, there's this kind of point of relation where we can make that connection and together, you know, make an even bigger impact. So, and I think that's really what's behind it, is that there's just this belief that everything that we do, you know, should not be seen as a decision in a silo, but that there's, you know, other kind of impacts of that that should be considered. And then those decisions should be broadcasted in a way that, you know, everyone can know that what you stand for.
So talking about what you stand for, I mean, I really love businesses, like you said, with a social spirit that are trying to make an impact. And like Rubicon, Regrained is also a certified B Corporation. So for those who may be unfamiliar, just tuning in, what is a B Corp and what does being one mean for you, for your business, and for your consumers?
Yeah, so getting a B Corp certification can kind of be thought of as being similar to some of these third-party certifications that you might see for ingredients, for example. So maybe something certified, you know, organic or certified non-GMO or certified fair trade. You know, it's kind of like having that type of certification, but for your business model. So it's saying, hey, this is a business that doesn't just exist to maximize profit and focus on, you know, short-term, even quarterly, you know, earnings, for example, for the shareholders. But this is a business that is committed to considering the triple bottom line of people, planet, and profit, you know, as kind of an integrated platform. And so to get that certification, you know, you have to have a lot of documentation about, you know, pretty much everything that you're doing, you know, as a business, and you get a score and you have to improve that score every year. And what's really cool is that, and so we're not just a certified B Corp, but we're also registered as a public benefit corporation. And so our legal structure actually has our mission locked into it. And, you know, our bylaws actually say, hey, like Regrained is going to consider more than just profit when making decisions. You know, Regrained is going to consider the long term. And, you know, Regrained cares about, you know, using business as a force for good, basically. And that when you see that B Corp, it's not a very well-known label yet. You know, I think it's becoming better known, but it's a signal to the market that, hey, this is a business that, you know, this third party has looked at and everything that they do, including, you know, the sourcing of ingredients, but so much more than that, you know, to the business model itself and, you know, all the different practices, and said, hey, this is a business that exists, you know, not just do less harm, but actually do some good in the world.
I love that. Before we wrap up, I wanted to play our rapid fire game with you. I'm just going to shoot off 10 quick questions. And I just want you, it's easy, blurt out the first thing that comes to your mind. You ready?
Sure.
One, describe your ideal Sunday.
Depending on the season, either a mountain bike ride or skiing, followed by just like a home cooked meal and, you know, Netflix.
Who's the last person that you texted?
My wife.
What has been a real standout career highlight for you thus far?
making the transition to Regrain not being a hobby, but being a job. You know, I started this thing about 10 years ago when I was in college, and made the transition in about late 2016 to actually having this be, you know, my livelihood. And that's it's been amazing.
You knew it was coming. I had to ask, what's your favorite beer?
My favorite style of beer is Saison. So I really like beers where the yeast is doing a lot of the work and developing some of the kind of interesting flavors. Because as a brewer, you know, a lot of people don't talk about this, but you're basically a chair of like a yeast party planning committee. And that's Saison is, I think, a style that really showcases that.
What's the last TV show that you binge watched?
I'd say Veep.
I love Veep. Beach or mountains?
Mountain.
What is one piece of advice that you've heard in your career that just really stuck with you?
Nobody knows what they're doing. So
yeah, true.
So ask for help, you know, and yeah, just don't be afraid to ask for help, because nobody really knows what they're doing.
What actor, this is a toughie, this always gives a little bit of trouble. What actor, dead or alive, would you cast to play yourself in the movie of your life?
Oh my God, I'm so bad at actors. I don't know. I just saw a bunch of movies with Paul Rudd in them, and he's just hilarious, but I don't know why. But I don't know. Ben Stiller, Adam Sandler, I don't know. It's a tough one.
So the funny guys. What are you reading right now?
A few books. I'm reading a nonfiction book called Multipliers. It's all about leadership. And then I'm reading Freedom by Jonathan Franzen.
What does success mean to you?
Personal success for me would really, a lot of it comes down to like just a life of balance, you know. So I work really hard, but I also care tremendously about having the flexibility to, you know, go skiing if it's a powder day, or, you know, spend time, you know, with family, you know, or friends. And so, you know, I think a successful life for me would be one where there's enough financial freedom where, you know, I can take the time to really, you know, live life. You know, but, you know, and get my business to a place where there's people that are a lot smarter than me that are running it, and I can, you know, provide strategic and kind of mission oriented, you know, oversight and work with other entrepreneurs on ideas that I believe in that, you know, that are going to make the world a better place.
So now's a time in the show where, you know, we really kind of harp on that call to action. And I think you've inspired a lot of people today, whether they want to brew beer in their bathtub or they want to hop online and buy some bars. So where can people find out more about you, about Regrain, and all of the awesome work that you guys are doing?
Yeah, so regrain.com or on Instagram at Regrain, you know, is a great place to go. We're carried in, you know, on Amazon, so it's pretty easy to get us anywhere, as well as in, you know, a lot of stores now and places like Imperfect Produce. And I think as a, you know, clear call to action, what I really hope to be doing with Regrain is helping people realize that there are a lot of little things that they can be doing that can make, you know, an impact. If you just look at food waste specifically, 40% of all food that's grown is wasted is kind of the estimate, you know, there. And close to half of that happens at the home level. And so if we can use, you know, Regrain as a starting point for people to look at, like, look, we're not going to solve food waste, you know, by people buying more Regrain bars. But what we can hope to do is also start this broader conversation about, hey, what do I have, you know, instead of what do I want for dinner tonight, what do I have for dinner tonight? You know, even just shifting that mentality of, you know, from what do I need to go out to the store and buy versus like, what do I have in the fridge that I can make a, you know, delicious, you know, meal from and make sure that I'm not, you know, throwing anything in the compost bin. And hopefully, like, this week was one of those weeks when the trash came where we didn't have any, not that we didn't generate any trash, but it wasn't enough to actually take to the curb. And so there's only the green bin for compost and only the blue bin for recycling that, you know, we dragged out to the curb this week. And that, you know, that, like, I would love to be able to do that every week, you know, and I think if we can start getting other people thinking about things in a similar way, that would really make me happy.
So remember, guys, you can help fight food waste by ultimately eating your beer, and that is insanely awesome. So Daniel, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you, Amy. Thanks, everyone. And yeah, get out there and do something.